It's a great privilege to be here with you this morning, and it's really exciting to be able to tuck in to your transformation series. And as Dave and I were talking about me coming, I was really stirred, really because of the journey we're going through as a church in Ascot, with regards to this extraordinary message of the gospel and how it's the gospel that transforms lives. It's the work of God that transforms lives. And I'm convinced, I'm really, really convinced that when we fully understand the gospel, when we understand what God through Jesus has done for us, when we see how amazing the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection is, and when we realize that we're transformed by it, and as a result, we have a part to play in seeing transformation around us, we can truly live fulfilled lives. When we understand that, not just in our head, but in our heart, when we see the gospel, how it's impacted us, we are those whose lives have been transformed and therefore can see other lives around us transformed. And when we realize that the gospel or the good news isn't just about fixing our relationship with God and getting our ticket to heaven, that it's something that is powerful and it's something that goes on transforming us day after day, it's a life-changing perspective. You see, I worry that sometimes as followers of Jesus, we understand this amazing good news that God created us in his image. And because of sin, we rebelled against God and there was a break in our relationship. And Jesus, God sent Jesus, he died, he rose again to make a way for us to know God. I worry that sometimes we think that's what the gospel's about. And it stops there. I've even heard someone a while ago say, well, actually, the gospel's for my salvation, and we move on from that, and now we've matured into living a Christian life. I would suggest the gospel is something that impacts every aspect of our lives. And I love the hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, that amazing hymn that John Newton wrote. And it sums up this extraordinary message of the gospel so well, doesn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Complete transformation, lost, found, blind, seeing. And that's what the gospel does in our lives. So this morning, I just want us to look at how transformed lives transform lives. There's just two letters missing as you say that. Transformed lives transform lives. Now, the New Testament in our Bibles was mostly written by one man. Any suggestions? Paul. Paul was originally a religious Jew, and his life was completely transformed when he encountered Jesus. And Paul wrote many letters to lots of churches. It would be like someone writing a letter to the church in Shepparton and encouraging them and saying, you're doing well, or I've heard this about you, you need to change that. Or he wrote lots of letters to churches and to people. And one of them was a letter that he wrote to a church in Rome, capital of Italy, probably the capital of that whole part of the world at the time. And when you read Paul's letters, particularly the one to the Romans, you see an urgency and a passion for this message of Jesus to be heard and to be lived out. He didn't want it just to be something that changes your thinking or changes their thinking. He wanted it to be something that changed everything in their lives as they lived it out. And so when you look at this letter, now we're not going to look at the whole letter this morning, but we'll be ducking in and out of Romans. I believe you're in Philippians last week, was that right, Dave, with Keith? So we're going to have a bit of a Paul fest for 2 weeks. But when you look at this letter, you can't help but see this amazing, powerful gospel. You read Romans, you can't help but see this amazing gospel. And if you believe it to be true and then share the message, just watch as it transforms lives. Just watch as it transforms your life. Just watch as it transforms communities and people's lives as we live out the work of the gospel in our lives. You saw that picture earlier, didn't you, for the transformation series of the butterfly. When it comes to transformation, we have to be transformed from something into something else, don't we? A butterfly doesn't transform into a butterfly. A caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. And actually, you need to understand when we look at transformation, transformation in our community, transformation in our lives, that we're transformed from something into something else. And Paul, in his first four chapters of Romans, really tells us that what we've been transformed from. He says that we live in a world that is broken and messed up, basically. That's Dave's paraphrased version. And in it live broken and messed up people. Anybody sometimes feel like that or you see that? And in it are broken and messed up situations. And most seriously, people are broken in their relationship with God, their creator, their father. And Paul says it this way. So if you've got a Bible, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, but it's going to come up on the screen as well. So Paul describes what we've been transformed from here. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. When you read the first few chapters of Romans, it's a little bit like, ugh. It's like, ugh. I hope the rest of the letter's not like this. Because Paul paints this rather stark picture of the state of humankind. He says, you are fallen, you are far from God. God has handed us over to our own sinful nature and our own rebellion. Think, oh, that doesn't seem very kind and gracious. But don't forget, we have to be transformed from something into something else. God handed us over to our sinful ways. But the amazing bit is, he didn't just leave us, did he? Maybe you're here and you've been a follower of Jesus for many years and you know that God made a way. Maybe you're here and you're investigating who this Jesus is. What even is church? What is Christianity? God would say, I didn't just leave you to your own devices. I made a way. I made a way. God wasn't finished with us. And as we said earlier, his plan was always to send his son. His plan was always to send his son, who would lay down his life for all who recognize and repent. Now, repent literally means to change direction. So we're moving in one way, we realize that way is not good, and to repent is say, actually, that's not a good way of living. I'm going to turn around and live this way. And that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to turn away from our old life and move into a new way of life. So we turn away from our own sinfulness and have faith in his sacrifice. That moment where he took the blame and the punishment for our sins upon himself. And then, this is the amazing bit. This is the bit that we can't do. By the power of the Spirit, you heard about the power of God working in us. By the power of the Spirit, he makes us a new creation. If you want transformation, we're like brand new. We're made new. Our old life, we're dead to the old life. And we're made new in Christ, a change of the heart from the inside to become his children, made right with him, forgiven, given a new life that goes on beyond this life, an eternal life with him forever in new bodies, on a new heaven and a new earth. A place where there'll be no more sin, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death, no more fighting, no more wars. All the stuff that we don't like about this world, that'll be gone. Total transformation because of what Jesus has done in the gospel. And friends, this is truly amazing. If we hear that and go, that's nice, I think we've got something that we need to get excited about. It's completely transforming. It's extravagant. It's wonderful. This is God's gift to us because he loves us. And it's the gospel at work. It's the gospel at work. If the gospel is just about getting us right with God and stops, the church has got a problem. I've got a problem. It's got to be something that keeps working out day after day. It's life-changing, total transformation. And all the things you'll be looking at in this transformation series, all the things that Dave just shared earlier about the transformation doesn't just change us, it changes everyone around us. It's when we understand the truth of the gospel that drives us forward. It's when we live out the gospel day by day that drives us forward. It's the gospel in action that gives us a compassion for those who are in need. It's the gospel in action that says, this is such good news to me, I need to tell anyone, everyone about it. It's the gospel in action that says, I might get rejected, but I'm still going to say it anyway. Because it's God working in us. And so we get to know God. We get to know God, the creator of the universe, not because of anything we have done, but all because of what Jesus did for us on a cross just under 2,000 years ago, rising from the dead 3 days later to demonstrate his victory over sin and its ultimate consequence, death. We sang that line, Jesus, yours is the victory. He's our living hope. He's the one that changes everything. And we live in the good of that, friends. We live in the good of that. Do we live lives that show that we live in the good of that? Is the question I ask myself. And I hope if there's anything that my enthusiastic words might say this morning to Jubilee Church Shepparton is this. If all you take away is the gospel has changed me and now I'm going to live it out. That's really what I feel God just wants to deposit into you today. A passion and enthusiasm for this extraordinary message of the gospel that will change lives around us. Let's be continually amazed. Let's never lose the wonder of this amazing grace that God has shown us. And when we hear it, we must respond to it. And then we have a part to play ourselves. And so my question is to you, again, it's the privilege of coming as a visitor. I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe you've lived this out for many years, but maybe this is new. And I want to ask, do you believe it? Will you believe it? Will you let this good news of what Jesus has done work its way out in your life? I want to encourage you, if you're seeking, searching God, seriously consider who Jesus is. Seriously consider what he did. Seriously consider what he said. And live lives as a result of that. Not because of some head knowledge, but because God is changing you from the inside out. Will we believe it or not? Will we believe that this gospel is something that works itself out every day in our lives? So, as I mentioned earlier, Paul was a man whose life was transformed. You cannot help but read much of the New Testament and see this is a man whose life was radically transformed when he believed the message. And his belief didn't just happen after he heard the message. In fact, he had heard the message of the gospel of Jesus as a very, very religious Jew, as a very religious Pharisee. And when Paul heard the message the first time, do you know what? He didn't go, oh, this is an amazing message. He hated everything it stood for. Literally, he hated it so much that he had people who proclaimed that message killed. He was religious. But this message of grace, this message of God's work, this message of forgiveness, he hated it. And he persecuted those who followed Jesus and believed this extraordinary message. So what happened? Well, Jesus intervened because he knew Paul was such a passionate man that if he was to get him on the team, this gospel would explode. And Paul heard Jesus speak to him directly as he was walking along the road, maybe on a horse, we don't know, on the way to a town or a city called Damascus. He heard Jesus speak to him, and he couldn't deny the truth anymore. And he believed, and he gave his life over to following Jesus. But not only did he believe, but he acted upon it. He wanted everyone to hear about Jesus' death and resurrection. He wanted everyone to know this truth. He wanted everyone to understand this gospel. And he wouldn't stay quiet. He would not stay quiet. He'd go to prison for it. He'd even lose his life for it. He'd even die for what he believed. Now, when you're growing up, or maybe not, you sometimes get those questions. We live in this really easy, comfortable society, and none of us have to risk giving our lives up for our faith. I've got friends in India, and of the way the elections have just turned out, they're fearful for their lives if they're going to proclaim this gospel. But maybe we're fearful because we might lose friends. Maybe we're fearful because we might be rejected. Are we willing to pay that price for following Jesus like Paul did? His attitude was, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We read stuff in the Bible and think that's nice, but when you think about what it means, it changes us. It means we take a phone call late at night to try and find food for someone, and we go out of our way to make it happen. It means that we give to those who are in need as they're in need, even if it's costly to ourselves. It's a different way of thinking, this gospel-centered life. You see, Paul had complete confidence that death wasn't the end, only the beginning of eternity with God. And we might live for whatever length of life we live on this earth, but that is, compared to eternity, a small flash. Paul completely understood what the gospel achieves and how it makes us right with God. And he then uses, in Romans 4, he uses Abraham, who was the ancestor of the Jewish people, to explain this to the people in Rome. And he explains that this good news, this righteousness, this right way of living that comes from God, isn't just for the Jewish people, isn't just for them, it's for everyone, for all of us. He says this, "Yet he, Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. This is the gospel, friends. This is the power of the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe that because of what Jesus has done, we have a right standing, righteousness before God, the creator of the universe? We need to believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead and who will raise us from the dead, giving us eternal life. Not for this world, but forever, for the whole of eternity. And again, before we move on, where do you stand on this today? Do you believe that with your whole life? Do you believe that with your whole heart, that you can live a life just as if you'd never sinned, justified? Just as if you'd done nothing wrong. See, there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. You can try really hard, but God will still love you the same. You can fail really well, and God will love you the same. We're justified. We live just as if we're Christ. And we have a right standing, a righteousness that is before God. So if you follow Jesus, you are right in God's eyes. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, having seen the wonder of the gospel, excuse me for laying that foundation again. I know for some of us, we know that. But it's so important. To be honest, this last year, as we've been looking at as Romans as well, it's transformed my life. It's just given me a different outlook on the wonder of the church, the wonder of our lives, living gospel-centered lives, living lives that the gospel is in action every day. And I hope it stirs your heart. So having seen the wonder of the gospel, having believed it to be true, we come to the realization that the gospel is powerful. It's powerful. How else would we have wondered and believed if it was not? If there was no power in this message, how would we have been changed? If there was no power in Jesus' death and resurrection, it's just another man. There's power in the resurrection. There's power in what God does. There's power at work. And maybe one of Paul's most famous statements is this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. Literally, everyone else. So if you ever see the word Gentile, that's anybody who's not Jewish, like us. To the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for the salvation of those who will believe. It's powerful. It's life-changing. It's transformational. And so, friends, the power is in the message. The power is in the message. God's good news of Jesus has power. Let me encourage you, we don't need to try and make it powerful. We don't need to try and make it popular. We don't need to try and make it relevant. It is relevant. It is powerful. It is life-changing already. Let's not tweak to make it palatable for people. Let's preach it in a way that changes lives. Because it's God's message. It's His message. It can take care of itself. It can take care of itself. It's a life-changing message for those who believe. And this is really important. When we realize the power is in the message, not our eloquence. When the power is in the message, not us living perfect lives. When the power is in the message, we can be who God made us to be, rather than try and have it all sewn up. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that makes me go, whew. Seriously. Just be you. Just love people. Don't try really, really hard to be someone you're not. Sometimes your, I guess, fumbling acts of love to care for people show God's love more than having it all sewn up, and kindness to people. The gospel of God transforms lives. And our part is simple. As I say, today's about transformed lives transform lives. Our part is simple. Let the gospel do its work as we play our part by being willing to share the good news. Let the gospel do its work as we give food to those who need it, as we help those who are struggling financially, as we care for people who can't look after their children, maybe you babysit for them, as we insert whatever's going through your mind right now into that statement. As we show God's love, the gospel will do its work. We had a couple recently who actually a few weeks ago got baptized. Earlier in the year, they didn't know Jesus. But a lady, she came on a hope and depression course. She came on a course because there was stuff, angst. She was suffering from anxiety. Now, that course was really helpful. It wasn't like directly talking about Jesus. It was just a bunch of people who were talking about mental health and how we can work that through in our society. But she met some people. And then a friend got baptized. And she came and heard this message. She said she couldn't just help but cry the whole meeting. And that night, she went to her friend who'd got baptized and said, "Tell me more. How do we sign up to this? Something's different." But just by showing love, by putting things on that people can connect to, men's nights, helping people who maybe are struggling with addictions, just showing God's love, not because we want to get something out of it, but because the gospel is working in our lives. People, there's likely that they'll see transformation anyway, but secondly, they might see the ultimate transformation as they come to know Jesus. Just as we show God's love and the gospel in action through us, the gospel of God transforms lives. Just think of the apostles. 12 ordinary people who were the close followers of Jesus. The fact that they were ordinary people is significant. The fact that they were fishermen, ordinary people, is significant. Jesus did not choose those with great power or influence to be his apostles. He didn't choose any of the Jewish rulers, elders, or teachers of the law. He didn't choose any of the scribes, Pharisees, or Sadducees, the people of the day with religious power. Instead, he chose ordinary people like you and me. How cool is that? Transformed lives transform lives. These were ordinary people who had been transformed by God, who then played a huge part in seeing other people's lives transformed. Once again, our God is an extraordinary God with an extraordinary message who uses ordinary people like you and me to accomplish his plan for this world. The apostles, these disciples, came from a variety of backgrounds. We've got a variety of backgrounds in this very room. Peter, Andrew, James, John were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. Simon was a zealot. He was like really passionate for what he believed. He belonged to a radical, violent political party that hated Rome. And tax collectors like Matthew and Jesus put them all together. None of them were trained as teachers in the law. None of them came from religious leadership of the day. They were 12 ordinary people from a variety of backgrounds who were brought together by Christ to be his disciples. And then let's not forget Paul. Though trained in the law, God changed him from a Christian hater to probably the greatest evangelist of all time. Ordinary people that were impacted by an extraordinary message that would change the world forever. And after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, the church led the way in sharing the gospel. The church. Planting more churches that would eventually spread the good news of Jesus across the whole world. You see, our God is an extraordinary God, friends, who uses ordinary people to accomplish his work in the world. Just like us, just like you and me. And I think this is so encouraging. We may not feel like we have a whole lot to contribute to God's kingdom. We may feel insignificant. Anyone? I feel like that. I feel like that most days. Really, God? You want me to tell people about you? You know the stuff that's going on in my world. What could we possibly do for you? The truth is, God loves to use ordinary people like you and me to do his work on earth. I loved that picture earlier of the pine cones and the seaweed. You're valuable. You're valuable, and I'll use you. God wants to speak to us today. You are valuable, and God wants to use you to see lives transformed, to see transformation happening. It starts with us. We work it out, but it sees lives transformed around us. This is so encouraging. So encouraging. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That follows in so neatly from Keith last week. Friends, let's not try and do it in our own strength. Let's do it in the strength of the Spirit of God. Let's let the Holy Spirit work through us. Let's go on being filled with the Spirit so that we can take this extraordinary message, this gospel, this good news to people around us. Your pine cones, your seaweed, you're valuable. You've got a part to play. Nothing's wasted in the kingdom of God. Nothing's wasted. William Carey, who was a missionary, said this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. You up for attempting some great things from God, Jubilee Church Shepparton? Attempting some amazing stuff for God? Are you up for attempting some great things in your personal life as you step out and show God's love to people? Are you up for that? Because I reckon when we attempt great things from God, we can also expect God to do great things through us. Not because there's anything amazing about us, but because there's power in the message and there's power in the gospel. So, the disciples were just a group of ordinary people who responded to Christ's call. Friends, we get to share the love of God as those whose lives have been transformed. That's a great starting point. I'm realizing as I'm getting older, I just need to learn to be myself and to let God use me with the gifts he's given me in the communities that he's put me. And the great thing about the church is we all impact so many different communities, so many different people, so many different outlooks on life even. It'd be really boring if we were all the same. That's why I know that Jesus is alive, because the church should not work. But it does, because he's the head of it. He's working in our lives from all our different angles, from all our different backgrounds, from all our different thoughts. And he says, the message is powerful. I'm going to use you to see lives transformed. He wants to use all our different gifts and all our different abilities and all our different talents as part of his plan to show the world how much he loves them. So are you ready to do that? Are you ready to continue to do that? Are you ready to be used by God to be transformers? I could have done a really good slide with transformers, couldn't I? How did I miss that? But we get to transform lives because our lives have been transformed. When people see the wonder of the gospel, when they believe that they are changed by the power of God and become children of God, everything changes. Everything changes. And so the extraordinary message of the gospel takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of light. It takes us from being enemies of God to being friends of God. Actually, not just friends, children of God. It moves us from slavery to freedom. And it changes us from living for this world to living for God's kingdom. That's what the gospel does. That's what it does in our lives. The gospel changes everything. And I don't believe we can truly be impacted by the gospel and people not see a difference in our lives. If people don't see God work in your lives, pray for God to work more in your lives. When you know that you're fully accepted by God and made right in his sight because of Jesus, then the pursuit of change becomes something we get to do rather than something we have to do. How cool is that? God is not strong-arming you into this. He's showing you a picture of transformation and saying, do you want to join in seeing other people's lives transformed? That's what it's all about. Now, I know we're still not perfect. There will be days when we forget this truth, when we feel discouraged and defeated, as we struggle against sin, as we struggle against the things that life throws at us. But on these days, let's remind ourselves that transformation continues with the gospel. It doesn't stop to get us in. It's something that we live out day by day in our lives. Our acceptance in God's sight is not based on how well we perform, but on what Jesus did on our behalf. I have to remind myself that so much, especially in church leadership. It's really easy for church leaders. You pray for your church leaders because they want this church to flourish and grow and people's lives to be transformed. But they're like, when it's like really quiet, you like feel really responsible, even though it's probably the weather. But you do. And then immediately you're starting to doubt your leadership. You're starting to doubt whether you're good enough. And you can insert that into all of your lives, into different aspects of our lives. Are we driven by how well we perform, or are we driven by the fact that we're loved? We're loved by God, and He's for us. If you're not in Christ today, then you're not free. You may feel free as to you enjoy the temporary pleasures of this life, fleeting happiness. There is certainly a thrill in worldly living for a time. This may satisfy for a moment, but it won't satisfy forever. Ultimately, living for ourselves, for yourself, leads to an eternity apart from Christ as slaves to sin. And this is the opposite of freedom. Again, following on from Keith last week, the Spirit of God brings freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where God is working through His Spirit, there is freedom. And so as we finally remember that our transformation is not ultimately about us, we remember that it's about God's glory. We're reminded right at the beginning by Paul, this worship is about glorifying God for who He is. Not for what He's done, but what He's done is pretty cool. But if we don't worship, the rocks will cry out. God is worthy of worship, whether or not He's done anything for us. It's about God's glory being put on display to a world that desperately needs to see it, seeing transformed lives that transform lives. So, spiritual change begins and continues with the gospel. It results in our freedom and results in God's glory on display. That's what it does. So, can a person really change? Should we try again? Can a person really change? Yes, absolutely. And that change starts with Jesus. And as you live gospel lives, as you live lives that have been transformed, just watch. Just watch around you as you see lives transformed. Just watch as loved ones that you know come to know Jesus. Just watch as your children grow up seeing the wonder of the gospel. Just watch as people are set free from all kinds of things. Just watch as people are put right with their relationship with God. And then families are restored and friendships are mended as God's gospel does its work. You see, the gospel changes individuals. Eventually, it changes cultures, structures, and societies. But that isn't the way it looks day to day. On a daily basis, the gospel of Jesus brings disruptive, transformative, life-giving truth into the simple lives of ordinary people. And it is disruptive. It does it one person at a time, one family at a time, and one church at a time. So, transformed lives transform lives. And we share this message by being willing to tell people about how Jesus has transformed our lives. We get to share the gospel by doing the thing we're best at, talking about ourselves. We can tell our story. We can tell the story of how God has transformed our lives so people we'll see how it can transform their lives. And you don't even have to do it by speaking. You can do it just by being you and living it out. How cool is that? I think that's pretty cool. I'm excited by it, as you could probably tell. And so I want to ask, can you think of people you know? People you'd love to know God? Are there people you're praying for? Are there people that you're actively seeking? Maybe it's a community of people. Maybe you've got a heart for people who are struggling to even eat, Maybe you've got a heart for people in your community. Maybe there are people with addictions, alcohol, drug. Maybe there's a whole group of people that you know are suffering with mental health. Maybe it's your family that don't know Jesus. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your neighbours. Who is it in your life that you're thinking, I get to introduce them to Jesus by being me? Who is it? Who is it? I'd just like us to, why don't you think for a moment now? And if Paul and the band could come up, we're going to respond by worshipping. And I think there's been a theme, hasn't there, today, about chains being broken, about God's amazing grace working for us. That's the gospel. The gospel transforms us from something to something else. It transforms us from slavery into freedom. Chains are broken in the power of the gospel. There are chains are broken as we worship him. So let's just think. Let's take 20 seconds now, just quietly, to think about who is it in my world that I'd love to see this gospel impacting through me. Let's just do that for a second. Then I'm going to pray for us, pray for you, and then we're going to sing and finish. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this amazing gospel, this good news of your death and resurrection, this amazing news that you make a way for us to know our Father God. And Lord, even as we're thinking of people that we know that maybe so desperately need some hope, would you give us all that we need by your Spirit to be able to live lives, gospel lives, that will see change in that instance, in that community, in that situation? And Lord, I want to pray for us now. Would you help us not to strive to do this because we feel we have to, but help us to rejoice in the fact that we get to do this with you, that we get to partner with your plan for this world. And ask, Holy Spirit, would you just fill us again with your power? Do you fill us again with the confidence and boldness to live in this world as part of your kingdom and not to be dictated by this world? Would you give us all that we need to serve you and to love you and to serve others and to love them? And Lord, help us to do it because you've changed our lives. We thank you that you started with us, but now we get to see change and transformation happen in other people. We want to thank you for your amazing grace. We want to thank you took us from one place to another. We thank you that you've broken our chains. And we thank you that there will be a day where we will be with you, where we'll be like you, where there'll be no more sin, sickness, suffering, debt, mental health, all the things that are a result of a fallen world and broken world. We thank you that we can look forward to that day, and we glorify you and worship you, Jesus. Amen.